Thank you very much, Russell and Ann. It's easy to forget about the wondrous grace that we're given. It's good to be reminded over and over and over. Today we'll be finishing Ephesians chapter 13. So please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 13, starting at verse 14. Before we read, though, I'd like to mention the success of the spaghetti lunch last Sunday after the service. Scott gave me a number of $403 that they were able to raise. So thank you, youth, for a wonderful lunch and a wonderful way of supporting a girl in the Philippines. And I'm sure Nika Ram will be grateful to all of us, though she may not meet us until eternity. We will receive thanks and we can praise God for all this. So thank you again, youth. Also, we're going to have touch this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I'm not very good at visual design, but I put together a brochure. So we have a new brochure for Mount Hermon. And if you come at 3 o'clock, we'll have enough for everyone to use and pass out to those that we meet in our neighborhood. I want to emphasize how important touch is. It's a way of the church actually being the church and being out there and reaching people who need Jesus. It's what the church did on its first day when it was first born. Peter went out and he talked to his neighbors, and 3,000 joined the church that day. And we continue that tradition by going out after we've prayed and worshiped God, and we tell our neighbors about Jesus. Also, a little reminder, also as we go through the book of Ephesians, we're also memorizing five verses of your choosing. I got a call from my sister last week. She's not a member of this church, by the way. And she recited the last half of chapter 1 to me over the phone. I was so impressed and proud of her. Another non-member who has started memorizing is our dear secretary, Ella. And she is actually memorizing from the passage that we'll be reading today. So you can continue to encourage her, and she can encourage you as you memorize. If you memorize a verse a week, then you'll be done by the end of the series. So not too tough. So those who have yet to begin. You can start this week. Read with me the Word of God, starting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Well, we're in the middle of a series on Ephesians, literally the middle. If you see the schedule of sermons We are right in the middle. And we are also in the middle of the book, which is 6 chapters long. We'll be finishing the 3rd chapter today. We're also in the middle of a 2-part sermon. I started last Sunday and I'll finish this Sunday. If you missed it, the sermon will be on YouTube by tomorrow morning. It's a 2-part sermon on mystery and revelation. Last week, we began discussing how the mystery of Christ and the gospel has been revealed to us in these days. It was hidden for centuries, hidden from the saints of the Old Testament, hidden from the prophets of the Old Testament, hidden from all those names that you learned in Sunday school growing up, hidden from even the writers of the Old Testament. They didn't even know what they were writing about, this mystery of the gospel that would come. Remember when we read 1 Peter chapter 1 last week, concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that would come to you, they searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the times and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ was pointing, when he described the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It wasn't revealed to them, but it was revealed to us. Even angels long to look into this mystery. Even angels. What was hidden has been revealed today. The gospel has come through God's Son, Jesus Christ. We have been born anew by the Holy Spirit, and we have the power to live holy lives in the church. But with all these revelations given to us, there is still a lot of mystery in the gospel. I read in Baptist Today, it's a magazine that comes out monthly. If you don't read it, I recommend it. It's very helpful. There's an article about Tim LaHaye. Do y'all know who Tim LaHaye is? Have you read any of his books? He's well known for his Left Behind series. I think a dozen of them so far, though I think there's some more coming out, prequels. They are about the end times, the apocalypse, and a good portion of it has to do with the rapture of the church, where, according to LaHaye, the people of God are taken up from the earth up to heaven, and then the world is punished for its misdeeds, for its unfaithfulness. Now, LaHaye explains in interviews that the Left Behind series is just fiction. It's just some novels that he helped co-write. But the theology behind it he stands by, including the rapture. But what he understands as the rapture of being taken up while the world suffers tribulation hasn't been around very long. This was a surprise to me when I heard of it. It hasn't even been around as long as Mount Hermon has been around. If you were to go back to the time of when Mount Hermon began, 162 years ago, if you were to go back and you were to ask the founding members of Mount Hermon what they believed about the end times, they would tell you something really different. Isn't that interesting? And if you started explaining LaHaye's theology through the Left Behind series, they'd look at you really funny. They say, that's not what a Christian believes. I think that is really interesting. Only 162 years, and how the things of what we believe about the end times has changed so much. Now, LaHaye, like many of us, like the prophets of old, he searches intently and with greatest care, trying to find the times and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ was pointing when he talked about Christ's coming, Christ's second coming. But Revelation and a lot of the New Testament speaks very mysteriously about Christ's second coming. Oh, we know the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. We know that Christ will return. But even the mystery of Christ's returning is mysterious to Christ himself. When he says in Matthew 24, no one knows the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. It's a mystery to Christ himself about what will happen in the end times. Oh, we get clues, but it's still a mystery. I mean, it's not the first time that we've tried to solve God's mysteries. You can look back to the nation of Israel. They were expecting a Messiah. There were prophecies about the Messiah returning. But what they understood as the Messiah really didn't happen. They expected a king to come and overthrow whatever government was in his way, including the Roman government. And what did they get? They got a poor little boy born in a barn in a little town called Bethlehem, never to ascend to any sort of leadership, crucified on a cross by the very government that these people of Israel thought he would overcome. That was a mystery. They searched intently, but in the end, they were a bit embarrassed by how they understood the mystery. Jesus just didn't fit in their interpretation. And we talked last week about how the church is not just a continuation of the nation of Israel. It's not, it doesn't become part of it. The nation of Israel doesn't become part of the church. The church is a new creation. But still, if you read the New Testament, there's talk about God doing something with the Jews. It's a mystery. It's a mystery that I don't understand. And it's a mystery that if people try to explain to you, you might want to challenge them. It's a mystery that the prophets of old have searched intently, and we continue to search intently. It's a mystery that is slowly being revealed to us. And it's not a mystery like I mentioned last week, like a murder mystery that we're supposed to solve. Like God gives us this Bible, and like scientists, we're supposed to dissect every verse and try to put together the future. No, it's a mystery more like a mystery to wonder at, to enjoy. It's a mystery like a caterpillar that climbs all over the branches, eating leaves, eventually gets so fat he needs to make a little cocoon. And then after a little while, he pops out and he's got wings. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when was the last time you just stopped and wondered at that mystery? Or the mystery of watching a documentary about the deep reaches of space and how stars create new elements, how dark matter rules, how black holes, they literally bend time and space. That's amazing. We don't understand it all. Perhaps it will be revealed to us in the future. But now we stand as finite beings just wondering at it all. Or closer to home, wondering about this child that was born to you, that grows up, begins talking, has her own opinions, has her own preferences, and begins to act a little too much like how you acted when you were a kid. Now that's wondrous. You just don't know what to do about that. That's the kind of mystery that the gospel is. Something to look at, wonder at, and enjoy. The church has long been preaching about mysteries. Perhaps you didn't grow up Baptist. You might know the word for mystery in Latin. Does anyone know the word for mystery in Latin? It's sacramentum. Sacramentum. It's where we get the word sacrament, right? Now, we Baptists don't use the word sacrament. We call baptism and the Lord's Supper ordinances because, well, it's also true that they are ordinances. Jesus has ordered us, commanded us to perform them. But other churches would call them sacraments. They're mysteries. Next week, we'll be performing one of these mysteries, the Lord's Supper. Later, in Ephesians, we will discuss another mystery. Ephesians, when discussing marriage, uses a phrase, a profound mystery. And that's why marriage is often a sacrament in many churches, too. It is a mystery. And I know what some of y'all are probably thinking, husbands and wives, you bet your whatever that marriage is a mystery. I haven't figured it out yet. But the Christian life is full of mysteries. God has never promised to answer all our questions. Please, if anybody knows the verse in the Bible where God says, "Thou shalt bring to thou God all of your questions, and your God will answer them all." Please tell me. I'm still looking for that verse. I don't think God has promised to answer all of our questions. And the Christian faith has not guaranteed to answer all our questions. The Christian faith is very mysterious. The world looks for answers. The world demands answers. But the world will not get all of its answers. God himself is a mystery. I mean, to understand the Creator would kind of place ourselves above the Creator if we understood everything about the Creator. And the Creator understands everything about us, not vice versa. The very fact that God is mysterious is an argument that we're serving God and not just a made-up God. We can make up gods. They're called idols. We use our own intellect to make them up, and we understand them. The God who is, we can't comprehend. In the passage today, we see the incomprehensible yet revealed God. Verse 17, I'll begin. He is revealed to us. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God has revealed himself to us, has revealed his Son. Yet, he is also incomprehensible in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. We cannot even imagine what God is doing. How can we imagine what God is? Well, last week we talked about how the mystery has been revealed, but today we talk about how the revealed God is mysterious. His actions are mysterious. How can both be true? Well, I haven't been able to go to the state fair this year. I've gone the last couple years. I hear some of y'all have gone. Have any of y'all gone this year to the state fair? Yeah? You've enjoyed it? Yeah? I hear the youth are going today. Is that true? Y'all going today? I think one of the best parts of the state fair is trying out all of this weird food that I never see the whole year. What are some of the weird foods that you can get? Yeah, Maureen?
Krispy Kreme donuts with a burger inside.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what to say to that. What else?
Fried Snicker bars.
Deep fried Snicker bars? Yeah. I've had some deep fried Oreos, and I even saw a pecan pie that was deep fried. You could buy a deep-fried pecan pie. Oh my goodness, that, I mean, it's probably a bit unhealthy, but I have to say the deep fried Oreos are pretty good. I've also been told this year they have a stand called Pop Pops, chocolate covered frozen bananas. That sounds pretty good. I haven't tried one, but I'd like to. So if y'all youth go and find it today, tell me. Last year, though, I think this tops anything that I've seen. I had a pig liquor. Do y'all know what a pig liquor is? Anybody? Yeah. It's a piece of bacon covered in chocolate and then salted. Now, I had my first bite, and it was pretty good until it hit my stomach. And I will never have a pig liquor again. My goodness. Yeah. But if you were to ask me, okay, so a pig liquor, it's bacon, chocolate, and salt. Now, is a pig liquor sweet or salty? I'd have to say yes. It is sweet or salty. It's together, both sweet and salty. It's kind of a paradox on your tongue. Your tongue's not sure what it's tasting. Today, we're talking about a paradox, that it's both revealed and mysterious at the same time. A paradox, if you haven't heard the word before, it's just two things that kind of don't make sense, but they exist together. Two contrary things that exist in the same place from a certain perspective. Some examples in the world, because the world is full of paradoxes. I mean, don't think that if you hear a paradox, oh, that's not true. Paradoxes are all over. If you ask any physicist about light, you'll hear that light is both a particle and a wave. And you ask the physicist, is a light a particle or a wave? And the physicist will say, yes, it is. It is both a particle and a wave. One of my favorite examples of paradox is looking at a cone and how you can take a cross-section of a cone and it looks very different from whatever perspective you take. You ask any mathematician, is a cross-section of a cone a triangle or a circle? And the mathematician will say, yes, it is. Or maybe closer to home, this will hurt me more than it'll hurt you. Now, any child who's heard this will say that is a paradox. Why would my parent do something that hurts her or him? And it'll hurt me too. Why not just not do it? Don't punish me. It's a paradox. But we live with paradoxes everywhere. In the Christian life, is no different. We live with paradoxes. Even in the book of Ephesians, we read about how God predestined a family, but we also have free will to choose. It's a paradox. Or think about God, the character of God. God is transcendent beyond creation. Yet, God comes in the form of a created being in Jesus Christ to save us. Now you ask any philosopher, is God transcendent or immanent? And the philosopher will say, yes, God is both. In Ephesians, we read of the mystery of the gospel revealed. But it is an unsearchable mystery, the unsearchable riches of Christ. In the passage this morning, we read in verse 19 that Paul prays that we know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, explain to me, how in the world can you know something that surpasses knowledge? How? I mean, it's to know something that is unknowable. What is Paul praying? But in a nutshell, that's what the gospel is. That we as Christians know something that is unknowable. We can talk about this unknowable greatness of the gospel. We know it But we still call it unknowable. It takes an intellectual fortitude to live in a paradox. People will ask you to take sides, and throughout the Gospels, they asked Jesus to take sides to these paradoxes that he would explain. In the end, he often would embarrass them with a parable or two. But we must live life without all the answers. We're finite beings. As finite Christians, we're resolved to follow mysteries too wonderful for us. We can search intently and with greatest care, as the prophets did, and we can long to look into these things as the angels did, but we should hold loosely to any interpretation of this mystery, especially of the future. Because chances are God will probably embarrass us with what is coming up in the future. The mystery will play out in a way that the prophets didn't see, the writers of the Old Testament didn't see, Tim LaHaye has not yet seen, the greatest teachers of the Bible have not yet seen, and we here in this room have not yet seen. God's mysteries are beyond our understanding. So when somebody asks you, well, is the gospel revealed or mysterious? We can say, yes. Is God revealed or mysterious? Yes. Is Christ's second coming revealed or mysterious? Yes. This mystery that surpasses all knowledge that we have been given to know is given to all of us today. If you would like the mystery of the gospel today, to have the unsearchable riches of Christ found in your heart today, it is free for you. I encourage you to come forward and accept this wonderful mystery of the gospel during our hymn of invitation. If you would like to join Mount Hermon Baptist Church as we discover these mysteries together and we share them with our community, I encourage you to come forward and accept membership today. And if you have any other decisions that you would like to share with your family, I encourage you to come forward during the hymn of invitation. Let us bow our hearts together. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Clouds and darkness are around you. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Your greatness is unsearchable. O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of you, how unsearchable are your judgments, and your ways are past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor, or who has given to him first, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Thank you. forth from here living this mysterious life so that others may see and want to join this mystery of the gospel. Amen. Let us join hands around the congregation, around the sanctuary. We can make it. Come on, William.
I think I had it.
807 South Duke Street. Apartment 423.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I still have the key to the house on my key ring. But, and I still have some clothes and things I might want to take out.
Okay. Well, maybe we can make a visit.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to let me know where to meet you.
Yeah.
Where we can meet.
Will you be around on Thursday?
In my apartment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't stay around all the time.
What's a good time on Thursday?
I'll come.
Could do it at 9?
In the morning?
Yeah.
Well,
it could be in the afternoon.
Well, let me see. I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
Which would be a better time for you?
Well, my Thursday is completely free to visit.
Okay.
So you just tell me when a good...
You just did a wonderful job.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now hug?
Yeah. I had cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. It's doing good.
But she's cranky anyway.
If I call you, I need to have your phone number.
You can call the church. Call the church and set an appointment for any time Thursday.
Okay.
And I'll be there.
Are you going to be at the church Thursday? Here at the church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But you can call tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Call any time Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning and set up an appointment.
Monday or Wednesday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
Morning.
I come again.
Oh,
I'm glad you're feeling better. You sound much better.
Yeah, I am feeling better. Yeah, I hadn't been sick like that in years and years.
Why don't you go with the youth to the fair?
I want to do touch.
Yeah. When I went to get the cataract, my blood pressure went out of sight.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
But it was
still me. But I'm fine.
Well, have a good day.
You too.
We'll talk about Big Bang Theory. I'd be interested in what you think too. Have you heard that? I've seen this bumper sticker that says, "I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God spoke and bang, it happened."
Yeah, I've seen that.
I thought that was pretty funny. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. I'm sorry you were sick. I didn't say anything because I've been running to the doctor myself with a few problems.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better.
I quite had a problem with that.
You look better.
I got the parts I put at home. I just had a chance to do it.
Flowers?
God uses you more and more and better every Sunday.
Well, I love seeing your smile.
But you know what? Sometimes I forget and I'll say something. You know, I'll be going, yeah, or what, you know, and I have like.
No, I like that. I wish there was more interaction.
Well, when my head's down, it's because I'm writing something. Okay. Not because I'm not. It's always something different. I mean, you bring up something I haven't heard before. I think that's amazing how God can do that. I mean, you can be raised in the scripture and you can see something that's familiar and you're like, hear it.
Yeah.
Done a little bit differently.
You know what God has done with Meg with all the different ministries we've had? Each one of them has seen almost different.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them has seen things different.
Yeah.
But it's all the same in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, I do hate that I'm on this touch. I really do. We had planned on meeting Mary Ellen, and I wanted to meet these elderly people in the nursing homes. I really did. But we'll just have to do that on another day, and it doesn't have. We don't have to wait for another touch.
No,
we can
don't.
Do it on another day.
And if you want to do it one day or one evening, then give me a call. And if I'm free, I'd love to do it.
Oh,
I'd love to
join you. That could work for me because he works. So if you don't mind going with just the two of us, we could go to the nursing homes.
Yeah.
And see how we do it. And even maybe that would be something that would work for Jamie as well. We don't know. You know, we won't be. But I will go up and see Miss Edith because she's my neighbor.
Yeah.
So did you go to her house?
Uh-huh.
You did?
Yeah.
So you saw where all of us live?
Yeah, well, she was pointing them all out. I didn't get all the houses straight. I did go to John Winston's
and
say hi to him. But yeah, she pointed y'all out. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you can stand in the corner of the bedroom and show like this and the whole floor would show up.
The house that you live in?
Yeah. We bought it without even seeing it because my baby sister lives across the field. I mean, we had seen the outside of it, but that's all. And I just wanted it to grow old. I know my sister lives across the field.
Yeah.
Came home and had to work for 3 months to even get it where we delivered dead squirrels in the fireplace.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you take pictures?
Yeah.
Like before and after pictures?
They have the faucets in the tub. They have them taped with that silver tape.
Mm-hmm.
Duct tape.
Yeah.
And when you pull the duct tape off, you can see down under the house.
Hey, Donna.
Hey.
How you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm lovely, Rick. I'm going to get your ticket tomorrow for the session.
Okay.
I'm going to pick all of ours up. So.
Okay. You have to pick them up?
Yeah, that's the successional office.
Okay.
So I was going over there on Friday, but this week's been one of those weeks where I told them.
Why can't they just bring them to...
All right. It's a great.
I'll take you.
Well, if they don't, I'll just tell them that.
Good to see you. Yeah.
Get it. Sounded good in Jewish, though.
Well, they good.
They would.
All right, and you can go with us if you want to. We'll go. Let's start to... 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, Mary Ellen invited me to go along with them, so I just did. Yeah, is it the same group?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I told you were going with us.
Yeah. Well, I'll be here at. It starts at 3, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's a bit quick. Yeah. But that's.
Yeah.
You tell you've got a ride.
Okay. Well, it's great seeing you. And I don't know if I told you, I love purple.
Hey,
yeah.
Well, good.
I love seeing that.
Very good. This is my mama's dress to leave.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, she died in 97. She was 96 years old. And she loved teaching children, and she kept seeing it in her early 90s and late 80s. She said, I wish I could climb those stairs. Yeah, she would have been, I guess, 109.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I miss, hey.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
I didn't notice. I saw you. Rich just told the service. We have a late comer.
Oh!
I pick on her. I pick on her all the time. She knows my love.
I do.
If I didn't, I couldn't pick on her.
You wouldn't.
That's all right. I wouldn't. I wouldn't bother. Are you going to the fair, or have you been to the fair?
I went last year. I'm not going this year. I'm leaving tomorrow, so I've only been here for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
But Erwin is joining us for touch.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I like to go out and buy people at church.
Okay.
It's one of the things
I do. Well,
why don't you just
up
come on up and we'll put you on the staff somewhere.
Yeah.
Or we'll just make you a leader.
I don't know either. I'm going to learn.
Is your first time?
Yeah.
I guess you heard about my class member this morning. She was going to come and join. And
yeah.
Just standing in front of the flow. Jean had told us that she sits now. When you see him step in front of the flowers, then you that's when you come down.
Oh, the invitation.
And he didn't step in front of the flowers.
Yeah.
I kept looking. I thought, Jean, Monica, what is your problem?
I was waiting for Monica, and Monica was waiting for me.
Yeah, because she was so excited that she had made her mind. She didn't come. And then we found out afterwards that he didn't step in front of the
flowers. Oh, no.
I said, by the time we get through telling him all his directions and all these little picky things that you got to do. I mean, when you're going to come to the Lord or join the church, you just walk right on out. It don't matter where nobody's standing.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there any flowers or there or
it don't matter.
That's really funny. That'll be other Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, see you.
That's his
original. Have the rest of see you sometime, whether it's
yeah.
Touch or...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you want to go to the duck shop?
Sure.
Yeah, we can go to 9th Street, have lunch, because duck shop's there. Unless there's something else that you're interested in eating.
What do you want
to eat? Okay.
I wouldn't mind some vegan meat and then put this off the floor.
Okay. Intro.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I do have one thing to add. I was thinking about one for your future.
Add it.
The fact that it's a mystery, like, provides this like continuous call to always search, right?
Mm.
Which I think is pretty cool, you know.
That is a great point.
I don't know. I feel like my sermons are always like I have to like answer something, you know. Like I have to like, this is what the scripture said, and go out and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Your sermon was more like. I want to say this was not really what I mean. It's almost like it's okay that it's a mystery.
Yeah, it is okay.
And it's good news that it's a mystery. It
has to be a mystery.
It left me with something to chew on rather than something to, or I feel like some sermons are something to do. There's more something to chew on. Which I think the sermons do need to be like that.
And I'll say this as the other side of the coin. People have criticized that my sermons have my sermons have a lot to chew on, but application isn't.
I've seen the turkey leg before. That's the biggest one you could find.
Yeah.
And before long, it ended up in the trash can.
I can get things like that.
Richard, on next year. You're going with us next year.
Okay.
Schedule touch on the same.
If I can, I will.
All you want is like donut burgers for you too.
I'll
put some ketchup on it.
What
do you
say about that? Crispy green burgers?
Yeah, with some ketchup and mustard and some sprinkles on it. Mm.
Art attack, wait a
second. Yep.
Oh, there's a ton of that stuff.
I mean,
from the Baltimore. Okay, well, enjoy. Tell me stories.
Oh, camera.
How people would react when I talked about the rapture.
I really liked your point when you said it's a mystery, it's not even Jesus.
Left my house vulnerable to burglary.
Is that what you're saying to me? Okay, I'm gonna change quickly and then we can go.